We're still in Jude. Maybe we can stay in Jude today, keep me from going off course. That's probably not likely. We've gotten two verses. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, people, then they would be men, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the manner of which that's written, we talked about, but the implication is he wanted to write a positive letter, but somehow the Holy Spirit exhorted him that he has to write in defense of the faith and really become what Jude is faithful for, is really tying into people. Well, that's what it says. Earnestly contend. It's only used here. This is the only time that word is used in the New Testament. And it's epigon. It's epigonzomai. And it's rigorous, vigorous, intense, determined struggle to defeat the opposition. And it's only normally used with regard to battles in a physical war to exhort the people to get back together again. And it was once delivered. Well, that's obviously. Which was once delivered to the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's about to go, let me follow. Joe Bob had a phrase about it, but to kick some butt is what it means. And it says that they have entered in by the side door. That's what they crept in unawares. They use religious terms, salvation, born again, etc. But they put their own meanings on the words. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. chapter 11, verse 11. I don't know. It's up to read too much. Verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ, apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It says they were ordained to that. Does that mean that they have... they're not at fault? Back to Jude. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, that's a terrible thing to say about somebody, that they were ordained to be a heretic. But it doesn't excuse it. What is a heretic? Anybody?
Someone who perverts the gospel.
Yeah, it's the same meaning that the same kind of meaning that we just read in 2 Corinthians. They put their own spin on the words.
It's filtered through their own mind. Mm-hmm. It's filtered through their own personal opinions, take.
Let's talk just for a minute about this thing we've maybe not talked about enough. Paul said there is no private interpretation of Scripture, and that's all over the Old Testament too. You don't have a right to have your own private understanding of words or Scripture. You might for a while, but eventually it has to come into whatever we call it, into an agreement, so that we are of one mind. As we've talked many times, the phrase "be of one mind" is throughout the New Testament. Does this bring to anything to your response, or do you have any response to that? That there are no private interpretations of Scripture?
I think a lot of new believers have private interpretations. They come into the faith with all kinds of imaginations of what being a Christian is, and this, that, and the other. But as they walk down the broad way till it gets narrow, that diminishes. If they continue in the faith, come into being of one mind, which is the right of Christ.
Well, what's our response to it? Do we anybody have any examples of what we've gone through besides me?
Well, I remember some of us disagreed about who the Antichrist was at first. That was a long time ago, and then we eventually came into agreement about that it was all men.
You remember that when we went through that thing about that the Old Testament is no different than the New Testament? Anybody remember that?
Sure.
Remember the idea that eternity was no time? That was a biggie. And forever just means as long as time lasts. But any agreement so far?
Except for the old New Testament thing, I never agreed with you on that. You never agreed with me.
I don't remember that you disagreed.
I remember your disagreement, but I also thought I remembered you coming into agreement.
Do you agree with me then?
No, I didn't agree with you.
I think there's so much evidence that there's a difference between the covenants. There's a new covenant in Christ that replaces the old covenant. Just so many things that...
Well, where does it say that?
In the scriptures.
Where, that there's a new covenant that replaces the old covenant?
Yeah.
Well,
you don't know where that is? Mm-hmm. I have to find it for you.
But there's only one covenant. That's what I've taught from the beginning. The Old Testament was the covenant in types and patterns, and
the New Covenant.
And the New Covenant is the revelation of the types and patterns.
And
but
the new and living way, it's so clear. It talks about it all the time.
Well, what do you do with the people like? Like Abel. Jesus said he was a prophet, and he's essentially believed in God, in Christ. Whether or not you go through, there's many examples where they didn't, but
he saw
people.
He saw the picture of Christ, and that's what motivated him to sacrifice a lamb.
He saw. How could he see a picture of him? There was no pictures.
That's the spiritual thing that God provided for him. I mean, God did the whole thing.
But each that's why we went back and studied, and that's what we're doing to see Christ in all the offerings.
Yeah.
To see Christ in what he is in circumcision. To see how all of the scapegoats, the ashes of the red heifer, everything,
right,
all was about Christ.
Leading up to Daniel's prophecy, and there came the time when Christ came into the flesh. That's not...
But let's just go to one scripture, and then I don't want to get on... Go back to Hebrews 3. Just a little bit, a few pages away. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we behold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the provocation or in the wilderness. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith at them that heard it. And then what goes on and on and on about entering into the rest. Now, the gospel was preached to everyone, from Adam and Eve onward. And is it a different gospel now?
Why would 6 million people or whatever was in the wilderness not have the ability to believe?
Rebellion.
6 million.
But it says, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them.
Yeah. Well, why can we believe and they didn't?
That's pretty
same as through today. There's many that say they believe that don't.
But none of these entered into rest.
There are two that entered the rest.
Two did, whatever the number was.
But the statement, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them.
Yeah.
But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached cannot benefit anybody today unless it is mixed with faith. But the faith isn't a noun, it's a verb. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're not living by faith alone, then you're sinning just as they did in the wilderness. Gospel's the same. Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They put their own spin on everything. Just as if you read the scriptures, there's no possibility, if you read them with integrity, there's no possibility that you could believe the prosperity gospel and say you're living by faith. It feeds sin instead of exposing sin. I mean, from my experience and from my understanding of the scripture, it's the same gospel. I mean, because it says it right there, but it says it other places too.
That's not a question, actually.
Huh?
That's not questionable. It does say it.
All right. Well, anyway, let's go back to Jude.
Yeah.
They were ordained to this condemnation. Chapter in verse 4.
Just as a thought, what if you were back there then? You all the answers. You wouldn't have believed either. But something happened.
I think I would have believed, because the same thing happened to me then as it would now as it would then. I didn't know anything about the scriptures. I didn't know anything about, but I when it pleased the Lord to reveal, then it was total, the same as it was with in Abel and in all the prophets and David. Nehemiah and Ezra. I mean, we could go on and on and on. I would have believed. I really believed that. And maybe I'm not. I don't think I'm kidding myself. That's why Paul keeps telling people to follow him, his faith. Don't make up your own faith. All right. They were ordained, written beforehand, or designated to this condemnation.
Are we still in Hebrews?
No, we're back in Jude. Verse 4. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Condemnation is krina. Ungodly, and this is a word we've studied forever. Remember what ungodly is? Asebus in Greek, and it means wrong thinking. And it's turning metathemi, turning, and it's to transpose two things. One, you replace one with your own thing is what it means. You replace the scriptures with your understanding of scripture, or your whoever's preached it. You transpose. The grace of our God into lasciviousness. Okay. I'm not transposing anything. They have no restraints. And it refers to a manner of life without faith. And it's the opposite of a disciple. Denying, which means to denying the grace, or turning the grace of our Lord God into sin, of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it essentially means damning. They're damning our Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself. It seems a little harsh. But anyway, now one of the things that this was preached against, and many scholars believe it was, this is why. Why Jude wrote this letter. And it's the whole idea of of what a Gnostic is. And there are many, many sects of Gnosticism, but a Gnostic is used for most of them, the word Gnostic. And it means that they believe that Christ was just a normal guy, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him when he symbolically died and came out of the water at his baptism. And they believe that he left Christ just before he died on the cross. And so, that sounds like a stupid thing. Nobody would believe that. But when you go investigate what those two really mean, that they are denying the virgin birth and the humanity of Christ, and then by saying that he was just a regular guy and then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then he was a regular guy again, it is because he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You understand what this understanding of dualism is. And,
well, they're crazy that they believe in the Holy Spirit. I mean, they go that far, but they don't believe in, I guess, Jesus.
Well, they believe in Jesus, but they put their own interpretation on it. And it spread throughout the early church like wildfire.
What was their interpretation? What was their interpretation? Was it
that the Holy Spirit came on Christ, who wasn't a virgin birth? He came on Christ when he came out of baptism, and he returned. He received the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit left him when he was crucified.
That's the Gnostic gospel.
There's a jillion different ways of what that means, but.
Yeah.
But what they're saying, in fact, is that we have no hope, because if born again doesn't mean born from the first estate in your death, then you have no hope. But their belief system was just common to a lot of cults and actions, and not even Christians, of that kind of thought process was a commonplace in the early years. But they denied the union of the divine and the human in one person. Now, the way this is most represented today, it started about 10 years ago when they invented cell phones. It started, and it became an obvious of this when the prosperity gospel, it was our friends in Fort Worth, I think it was his first, so he's the one that said it first, is that Christ needed to be born again. The word faith preachers who maintain that Jesus had to be born again, or born. And it denies that. Well, let's go to the one scripture that denies that most. And then we'll quit for the day because I'm hurting again. But let's go to Big John chapter 3. This is Nicodemus' last question or statement to Jesus. In verse 9, it says that Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be? How can a man be born new or born again?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest thou not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, of that you have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you believe them not, or you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And this is the kicker. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now, think of the massive numbers of people, and test it in yourself. Is this idea of what heaven is and who goes. "No man has ascended into heaven except he that came down from heaven." Now dwell on those words and test that against your ideas of heaven and hell a minute. Okay?
I had a circular experience of thinking in terms of construction and building a foundation. And when this was read, the picture I got was a large hole being drilled into the ground and filled with concrete as a supporting structure for the entire platform of faith, the entire house of faith. It holds it up. And with this...
You ever watch Treehouse Masters?
Some, not very often. I don't watch the construction shows much. I don't watch construction shows.
Well, for some reason, that show has captured me. I usually get bored of something.
It is a good show, I absolutely.
But what reminded when you said that, many times the client wants this huge, humongous treehouse.
Oh, yeah.
And so what they have to do, if the trees that are around it aren't in the right place, they have to dig these deep holes that go below the frost line. I mean, you know, where it doesn't freeze. It has to go below where the earth freezes, and then and tons of concrete go into it. But it's the same thing.
It's supporting. That show cracks me up because they call it a tree house, but it's actually a house that's built around a tree board. They're huge and magnificent.
But for some reason, except that the goofy guy that's at the head of it, it captured me for some reason, and it's like, again, it's like the same reason. I saw the different ways of building, and it just blew me away.
Yeah.
Anyhow, take it, big guy.
Very simple.